call the meeting for September 11th to order. Thank everybody for coming tonight. First order of business, if you would please check and silence your cell phones. Second order of business, we have B and C. I'm going to explain them both together. It'll be the Pledge of Allegiance and Invocation. Mr. Watts will be leading the invocation this evening. If after the Pledge of Allegiance you wish to leave during the invocation, you may leave, and Chief Shiflett will get you and bring you back in at the meeting time. One thing, when the invocation is coming, I would like for each of us to reflect on today and what you were doing 18 years ago today. And remember that 2,977 people lost their lives today, including 343 firefighters and EMS and 60 police officers. The official count is 2,996, but I subtracted 19 because they were including the hijackers, which I don't think there should be any recognition of them at all in the people that passed away. Also today, they added 22 more firefighters and EMS to the list that have died over this year because of the stuff that they breathed at all three of the sites. So they like I said, they added 22 more people. So during the invocation, I'd like for each of us, if we could, reflect on that too. So if we'll all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come for you tonight. We ask you to bless the families of the 911 victims that all perished in 9/11 of 2001. Lord, we ask you to reach out and to help the people affected by the hurricane in the Bahamas and here on our eastern seaboard, Lord. There are a lot of need out there, and we pray for you to meet that need, Lord. Lord, I ask you to put your hand on this meeting and each and every counselor here and each and every citizen here, and let your will be done and your will only, Lord. Bless each and every person here and send them home in a safe manner, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And further down in the thing, we will have citizens' comments. If you would like to do your citizen comment, you need to sign in. So if you want to speak shortly, you need to step out to sign your log. Next, we're honored tonight to have Mayor Tweedy from Lynchburg. And she has a presentation from the Central Virginia Planning District.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hello. I'm honored to be here this evening, and I'm here from the Central Virginia Planning Commission recognizing Mayor Tuggle, Vice Mayor Carton, and each council member. I'm here to invite you to our October 27th Planning Commission meeting, which will be a roundtable. And it will be an opportunity for all of our boards and our supervisors, council members, to get together and talk about what do we want to be as a region? What's our main focus? How will we impact our citizens and our neighbors and our communities over the next 20 years together? So this is an opportunity to bring everyone to the dinner. You will have a survey that will come out prior to that, just a one-question survey, not a lot of text and time, but it just gets your first thoughts on what we can grow into as a region. We give the example of Roanoke being, or the Roanoke Valley being known for the outdoors, the activities and opportunities there. Northern Virginia is for technology and what's happening up there. So what will Central Virginia Planning District be known for? Our region, our counties, and our city. So we are asking each council member to make time on the calendar to come out. I have invitations for you. And so I'm gonna give each one of you an invitation to that. And
thank you very much.
Thank you.
And so hopefully we will, you're welcome. And then on that evening, the results from all of the counties and city, everyone who participated will be discussed. we can have more dialogue about what the potential could be for our region, and then ask the Planning Commission staff to work on at least up to 2 goals. And so that's, we want it to be an active, action-oriented meeting, and so we hope all of you will come out. We're excited about it, and Mayor Tuggle and I will be doing a tour of all of our county towns and board meetings to invite persons. So thank you so much, and appreciate the time for the meeting. Do you have any questions for me or anything?
I think we're good. Right. Be careful going home.
Thank you very much.
See you, next
thank
week.
You. All right, thank you. See you then.
Okay, next item on the agenda is a proclamation for a Constitution Week. We have each received our, go ahead and then I'll read your.
Won't be long.
Okay.
I'm Sally Glenn, and I'm representing the Amherst Chapter Daughters of the American Revolution. For those of you all that don't know, the National Society of the Daughters of the American Revolution is an organization that promotes education, historical preservation, patriotism across America. We were founded in 1890, and since 1890, we've had over 950,000 members, closing in on a million this coming October. Our theme this year is Rise and Shine for America, which is Rise Up in Service, which we're all about servicing communities, servicing our veterans, servicing in any way we can, and shining by telling everyone what we do and how we promote patriotism in this country. September 17th through the 23rd is Constitution Week. The National Society of the DAR petitioned Congress in 1955 asking for September 17th to the 23rd be set aside as Constitution Week. And in 1956, President Eisenhower passed it into law. The commitment of the National Society of Daughters of the American Revolution is to educate the public about the Constitution. And we use this week to encourage folks to read the Constitution, to realize that it is the foundation of our many freedoms, it's the basis of our America's great heritage, and should be respected and preserved. Here in Amherst, we do many things to promote Constitution Week. In our schools, we're signing a proclamation tonight. I'll be at the school board meeting tomorrow night to sign a proclamation with the school board, and then next week we'll sign a proclamation with the board of supervisors. In the schools, they all get posters. We put posters up around many businesses. We did posters in both libraries, and we printed out a lot of Constitution bookmarks to get to the public at both libraries. Mary Mays, who is on the committee with me, put together school packets for all the second graders in the county of Amherst, and they had coloring pages about the Constitution bookmarks, and even had a Constitution fact for them to learn facts about the Constitution. And in our restaurants, 5 restaurants throughout the town and the county, we put these little cards on the sugar and packet food thing on the table just to educate people about this week coming up and celebrating Constitution Week. It's been 232 years since the Constitution was signed in Philadelphia, the Constitution Convention, and we're going to celebrate. If you would, I would ask you to read with me the opening statement of the Constitution, which is the we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And I also would like to introduce our Regent President by Chapter, Helen
Pettigrew. Okay.
And we have our building in D.C., Constitution Hall.
Yep, that's right.
Covers a whole city block. Fabulous museum if you go up and see it.
And
welcome visitors.
The original Constitution, if you want to see it, if you haven't, is in the National Archives
building. I thought Nicholas Cage got there.
I'll present this to you. It says, whereas September 17th, 2019, March, 232nd anniversary of drafting the Constitution of the United States. whereas it is fitting to properly officially recognize this magnificent document in the anniversary of its creation, whereas it is fitting to proper to officially recognize the patriotic celebrations which will commemorate this occasion, whereas Public Law 915 guarantees the issuing of proclamation each year by the President of the United States designating September 17th through the 23rd as Constitution Week. Now, therefore, I, Dwayne Tuggle, Mayor of Amherst, do hereby proclaim that September 17th through the 23rd be Constitution Week. Okay, thank you. Okay, next item on the agenda is the public hearing reference the parking ordinance. So first, we will send it over to Ms. Carter.
We've had some comments regarding parking on particularly North Main Street, and there's an existing set of rules regarding parking, and one of the rules includes that there should not be any parking along North and South Main Street and a few other locations, essentially overnight. That hasn't been enforced in many years, and it's not widely known or understood, and so we started having this kind of ongoing conversation about how we wanted to regulate parking. And when it came down to it and we had conversations with citizens, the big feedback that we kept getting was concern about commercial vehicles on Main Street and about blocking bike lanes. So what you have before you tonight really addresses those very specific issues, adds it into the existing ordinance regarding parking, and then removes the prohibition on overnight parking. So if somebody is parking overnight on Main Street, and they're parking a vehicle that is a standard personal vehicle, and they're within the lane in a designated parking space, that would be fine now, but we're taking out the ability to have a commercial vehicle or be within, block any portion of a bike lane. I have had a conversation with the one citizen that I knew would be impacted on the commercial vehicle, and that they have been fine with it. We don't have any concern from them, because I do always want to reach out when we know we're going to have an issue, and they've already kind of really mitigated that themselves since it was brought up to them.
Okay. Mr. Berry, would you like to add anything before I open the public hearing?
I don't think so, Mayor. We've batted this thing back and forth several times. Chief Watts gave me some insight on another area that has some laws that pretty much parallel this. So we just added a definition of commercial vehicles and eliminated a couple things. I think we're in good shape now.
Okay. With that, I will open the public hearing. If anybody would like to speak for or against, if they would please step forward, identify themselves and their address, and they will have 3 minutes to speak either there for or against the new policy. So the public hearing is open. Okay, as the mayor from one of the previous ones I was at this week said, I see nobody running to the podium. So we will close the public hearing, and now at this time we will open it up to council. First, I need a motion to accept the policy, and then we can move on from there.
I'll do an ordinance.
Adopt an ordinance.
Adopt the ordinance policy. Yeah.
I'll make that motion.
Have an motion from Mr. Watts. I have a second.
I'll second.
A second from Ms. Carter. Is there any discussion regarding the ordinance? Being no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? 500. One question I'd like to ask council and ask Ms. Carter, and I'm not really sure. Is there a way that we could possibly, well, let me get council's opinion on this. Send out a hard letter to the residents that live up and down Main and stuff to let them know about this so they have it in their hand, Because I know there's still a lot of confusion with the bike lanes and stuff, so if they have that from us.
Are you referring to like a courtesy letter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, a courtesy letter explaining this is...
I mean, we can do that. What the chief and I had talked about was the idea of having, you know, when we first started implementing this, is doing some kind of little warning notice that would say, you know,
right.
the basic rules. But if council would like, I mean, we could certainly, I can get, you know, the office ladies to kind of pull some of the addresses for folks that front directly on Main Street, and we could send out a letter.
I think, and the warning thing for a little while would be good, but I think just letting people know, hey, this is coming. They have a copy in their hand, so they know. And then if they get like a warning thing from the police department or something, it can go with the letter. So if it comes to the part where enforcement action is taking place, you can say, hey, you've got two already, you know, so.
Let me make a suggestion. The chief's probably going to shoot me over it, but would it be better to, because Main Street's not that long, in their evening rounds, if the officers would try to deliver a few of those each night.
Well, you got South Main Street too, because this takes care of all
of it. It does take care of South. Okay.
Yes.
That's probably going to be too much for
yeah,
me.
So that will take care of that. So it's like, that's why I thought that it
would. Yeah, I was just trying to save more
yeah.
postage and maybe answer questions.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they can call if they have an issue with calling.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
All right. Okay.
I like that idea. We can easily put it in the water bills.
We could do that too. I mean, if you would like to get, you know, everyone who's on the kind of in town, we get them through the water bill. So we could put that notice there
that
if you prefer.
That way they know if they come into town, you know, if they come along the
that's
bike
true.
Lane somewhere.
Yeah.
That way people can't say, well, I didn't know.
Yeah, because I don't live. Yeah, that's a great idea. I think.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There's a saves your postage issue too. So, all right, we'll go with that.
All people are interested in when they look at their water bills, the numbers though.
Yeah, well, you true. Yeah.
But when it comes in an envelope,
yeah,
open the envelope.
That's true.
Well, that is. Oh, they're wondering if there's a message from Gary
right.
in there.
Right.
So, all right, Ms. Carton, citizens' comments. Did you have anybody?
There was no one signed up.
Okay. All right. Next item is the consent agenda. So we have two copies of the minutes in front of us. But we basically need to decide which one we want to use and continue to use. So I would like, has everybody had time to read both of them? I know there was an email earlier in the week about them. Ms. Carton did some research under the Robert's Rules of Order on the meeting minutes. Does anybody have anything they would like to say as far as either one of the two?
I feel like we've got two issues here. One being what to do with written comments. And since we say we will enter them into record, the question is, what do we define as the record?
Right.
So we need to define the record,
right.
whether it's there, and then the second being the elaborating more to get a better idea. So I think there are two different.
The record
issues.
Part was something that I added when we put the time there.
Okay.
So that could be removed there because I added that when we started 2 years ago, 3 years ago when we started the time there. I just added. And actually, we had never had anybody until like, two meetings ago, or a meeting ago, add, you know, hand something else over.
Mm-hmm.
So that is simple. We can take care of that one way. I can drop the word record, and like I said, I added that. Your second one was, I'm trying to read your writing.
Good luck. There was a comment, there was a concern about it, the minutes being a little more elaborate so you had a better idea. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think that making them more elaborate, I don't think we'll ever agree on where we draw that line.
Right.
Making them more elaborate versus the actions that were the the actions that were taken, the decisions that were made. So I think it's a slippery slope.
Right, and there's, with some of the research that Ms. Carton done, and she gave me, one of the things about the public comments that have opened boards up to civil matters is when you try to go basically way too far into the weeds and going exactly to what they said during citizens' comments, it has opened them up to civil ramifications later because the people are coming back saying, you didn't quote me exactly, or you misunderstood exactly what I said. So that's, you know, there's a couple in this, this is from Robert's Rules.
Yeah. That little example, so
there's a couple examples here. One, it can be done under, there are four different ways. You can say there's a public comment was given, or a public comment was given by resident so-and-so and so-and-so, or it was given and the residents expressed their appreciation for work done by the board. Or public comment was given, Mr. Green said the board did a great job, or it's just something real brief. But it said don't try to record detailed exact things because then you're opening yourself up if you misquote them. Not saying that Ms. Hunt would misquote, but she may miss. Sometimes the word but or the makes a huge difference. So basically, with these points, I think that maybe by the first one, that where we go back to there, to where so-and-so at address such-and-such commented and just like a brief, you know, and then that's a brief idea and that's it instead of going out. That's what I think, and I think that's a good...
And these came from Robert's Rules.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think things like going by that would be consistent in
right.
how we handle
but, it. But on the written comments that were yeah. submitted, though, right. they're going to be attached, correct or not?
Well, that's your choices.
The first issue.
Okay.
That's your choices. You can either attach them, or I can take off the entered into record if.
I think for the purposes of these minutes, entered into the record was part of what you
right,
said.
Right, but yes. Now we want to move forward.
Right.
We're looking to move forward after today.
Mm-hmm.
So we can accept the ones if we, the minutes as presented with the attachments for last month's meeting. But now what we're looking at is moving forward on. And they would, you know, I can easily take away the record part, like I believe most places they do that. And it's just, you know, you get your time. This is basically your public kind of event and say what you have to say. And we appreciate you listening and taking into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of, and when I read the Robert's Rule of Order thing, the one thing that bothers me is if we start going, for lack of a better thing, too far into the weeds, we could be opening ourselves up for a civil. Just about everything else we do as a council, we follow Robert's Rules.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we want to vary off from Robert's Rules now? So what, unless there's further comment, what I would like to throw out is we will take a motion to accept the full packet with the attachments from last month as presented to council. From forward, we will go with the more streamlined version, I would say. Yes, you may please jump in.
I would like to back you up on that.
Okay.
If I may.
Yes, ma'am.
Because these minutes do not, if I'm not mistaken, this embellishes the citizen comments.
Right, and we don't want to do that.
And that's not what you want to do.
No, we do not.
So I need to back that up.
Right, these comments. But you go with the attachments.
Right,
that they
yes.
wrote.
Yeah, the attachments will be put in there.
So the clarification would be, we would be, I think what you're suggesting, and we want to make, I think we want to ask, do you want to adopt the original minutes sent out, except with the attachments from the second ones? So the level of detail you're normally accustomed to, but with the attachments, because the statement was made that the things were being put on the record?
Correct, yes.
That's what I understand.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, yeah, I was waiting.
You know it's coming.
You were looking at me, so that's what I was waiting for.
Okay, so I can be clear. I don't disagree with anything you've done thus far, but moving forward,
Right.
if we had a public hearing and they had written comments and they wanted to be attached.
A public hearing?
But that's what that was. A citizen comment, yes. Okay, so the public, when they came in and had citizen comments regarding this issue, they submitted a document. We are going to allow them to be part of the minutes and the documents.
Not moving forward, not from.
Not moving.
Not moving, because see, I had said it would be made part of the record.
So currently, the minutes we're talking about will be included.
Right.
I mean, the comments.
I get it.
Future they won't.
Moving forward, no.
And here is why I disagree with that.
Okay.
Because I went back and looked at those minutes for the last year so that I could be up to speed.
Right.
And that would have been nice to have those comments attached.
There were none.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that in the future, this won't be in there. But what happens 6 months from now or 2 years from now, those comments won't be available. And I'm not so sure that they're not supposed to be, because it's the citizen's voice that's being documented.
But everything the citizen says is on tape.
It's on tape. I mean, if they want to come in and review it.
Or transcribe it or whatever.
Transcribe it. It is on tape.
It's recorded. It's just not part of the minutes as a comment.
Yeah.
How long is that kept, the recording?
Tell them from recording.
According to records management, it has to be kept.
Until this breaks.
Until it breaks.
Or until the server breaks.
So they're available.
So they're available.
Until the building burns down.
May I read this person's comment about their interpretation of Robert's rules on this very topic? So I'm just going to share it with everybody, because this is a pretty respectful place where this came from. So it says, if your jurisdiction makes an audio or video recording of your minutes, public comment will be available for posterity, so forever. If it does not, in our view, there is still no need to make or keep a detailed written record. The purpose of the comments is to inform the elected officials. That purpose is accomplished at the meeting itself. Because you got to realize that why a citizen comes forward is to share that, because we are their representation.
Correct.
So they're telling us their concerns, and then it's our duty to do something with it. So that's why they're stating.
Okay, I was unaware that it is documented in some form, because it has to be captured some way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Now, what's not captured is nothing in closed session is captured on tape.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Other than that, everything's okay.
Okay, so I guess with this now, you have anything else?
No, I'm good.
You're good? All right.
You're considering the petition a comment also?
Yes, it will be.
Yes, that would be one of the attachments because of what was said
right.
at that meeting.
Okay.
This brings up a larger question, though. Do you want staff to explore what it would take? And I don't know the answer to that, because this is complicated.
We discussed it, though.
Do you want staff to explore putting the audio on the website for all the meetings? Because we don't do that currently. Ms. Hunt has that. But, I mean, there's a lot of jurisdictions that put their audio from the meeting on their website so that that's easily attainable for anyone. So at any point somebody can go to the website and they can listen to that audio for the entire meeting going back as long as we have it. I do know from other places that's not an easy thing for her to do. I mean, there will be some effort that will take, and this is going to be a little bit time consuming, but if that's a direction you would like to go in the interest of putting more out there,
But I mean, would it be that much work per meeting for her?
Once she gets it set up, I don't think it's gonna be bad at all. It's figuring out the logistics of getting it set up and then going back and adding previous meetings.
I wouldn't go back and add previous.
I'm interested in you doing that.
Moving forward.
Moving forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, another thing, sorry, just function-wise, you would have to check your web, our web poster to make sure that they can.
That's what I'm saying, there's.
It's a huge file.
It is a huge file, that's why it's complicated to do.
It's very difficult, it's complicated.
I've heard to ask.
Yeah, and my thought would be, you know, do what y'all do and then bring it back next month and we see where we're at.
I can add that for next month. I do know some localities have essentially done, instead of you doing the WAV files, they've essentially done links to drop boxes or zip it.
Right.
So that you don't end up with that whole thing. So, I mean, we could definitely explore hosting a drop box to put that in and then people have the links to that so that we don't clog up the website.
Yes.
Is there demand for this? I'm in favor of this.
Somebody's asked for it, but I think that.
Doesn't hurt.
Could we have a verbiage on the website that these audio recordings are available and can be listened to in the office?
I think if the goal is to have it be transparent, honestly, for the future, the less time-consuming thing would be just to make it available.
Mm-hmm.
Because to say, you know, it's available to people and then have to set up their ability to listen to it in the office, if you want to make it available, the best thing to do is just to figure out logistically how to get it out there and make that part of the process.
Mm-hmm. And that allows them to look at it their time. I mean, I'm listening minutes at 11 o'clock at night. I mean,
if that's the goal.
They can do it at their leisure or, their time.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that'll come back to us next month on that.
Yes, sir.
Anything else, Ms. Carter? Okay, now, so we'll take two motions, I would say. One will be to accept the minutes with the attachments, and the second will be going forward, how would you phrase?
I would ask for a motion for the first motion to accept the originally submitted minutes, but with the attachments. And I don't think you need a second motion because we're essentially just going forward from here with the same way we've done it.
Okay.
And we just need to change the language on the citizen comment that instead of saying it will be entered into record, I think we need to say, and will be disseminated to council. So if somebody does give additional information, we will make sure you see a copy of all of that because, as Ms. Carton said, the goal is to communicate to council.
All right. So with that, may I have a motion?
I make a motion that we accept the minutes as first presented, but to include the attachments that were handed in by the citizen comments.
I have a motion from Ms. Carton. I have a second. I have a second from Mr. Punch. Any further discussion? Further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? 5-0-0. Next item. Staff reports. Everybody get time to go over their staff reports. Any questions from staff?
They're busy bees.
Yeah, they're busy. No question about that. No questions on that. Finance committee?
We did not have a meeting, so I have nothing to report.
Community relations?
No.
And utilities?
Same here.
All right. Ms. Carton, Ms. Carter, the other committees, nothing except for our signature closed. As usual, the annual minutes from the, or meetings from the Robert E. Lee Soil. Okay. Next discussion item, Ms. Wright. Hiding somewhere? There she is. The CIP calendar.
This is something we started last year that we were supposed to be doing for code. This mimics the calendar that y'all received last year for the capital improvements plan and the budget calendar. And this is being presented to you this month for approval since it's outlined at the start of the capital improvements budget.
You want a motion on that?
Yes, we just need a motion to
I'll make the motion to accept that. CIP calendar.
Second. All right, we have a motion to accept the calendar. We have a second. Second from Ms. Ogden. Is there any discussion? You still looking?
No, I'm
not. Oh, okay. Being no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? 5-0-0. Thank you. Next item, Ms. Carter. We will set the public hearing for the slip line.
So the slip lining project is a very long-term project. The town originally started this process in 2008. When I have been working with USDA, our local office or our regional office, we have a whole series of check boxes we had to go through. And a few months ago, we reached the point where, you know, engineering had been released and we had some final check boxes that Mr. Barry and I were working on. The engineer had to kind of essentially go through all the permitting, checked all of those boxes. It got sent off to Richmond. Once it got sent off to Richmond, they said, we're not releasing you to bid until you do two more things. Both of these two things are items that when you go back to the letter from USDA, it says that there are things you have to do prior to closing, not prior to bid, prior to closing. They're holding us up. Haven't nagged you for yours yet, Mr. Barry, but one of them is we have to do title searches on all the property affected, which again, it says prior to closing, but at least that won't have to be redone. The other thing they're requiring us to do now, before they'll release us to bid instead of prior to closing, is actually have your public hearing and pass your resolution on your bond. Here's why this is problematic. The numbers we have right now for all of this is based on the 2008 numbers. Mm-hmm. So we are going to have a public hearing on going and passing a resolution on your bond, and it's going to be around $3 million. We're going to bid this project out, and the bids are going to come back probably somewhere between $6 and $8 million. And we're going to have to do this again. So I'm irritated, but it would take me longer to fight this with USDA than it takes for me just to push this along down the project. So I'm really, I've expressed my concern about this actually to Ben Klein's chief of staff about the fact that this, you know, these things keep kind of changing on us, and we're just trying to get to the point where we can bid this project out. For me personally, I would never recommend you using USDA money again, because for the amount of time and money we have spent to get through the process, I'm not sure we're ever going, until they can get their process straight, which I hope they really will. And that's one of the things, again, I said to Ben Klein's chief of staff. Lots of localities need this money, and we get about $1 million free money for using USDA. But there's a lot of hoops you jump through. So we're really just asking you to set the public hearing, but I just want to be very clear for people who pay attention to the process. These aren't the correct numbers. This isn't the amount that this project's going to be done for. We will be doing this again. So.
Will you be doing this again for an additional amount of some or another total amount of, like, is it this number plus another five? This
I think what we'll do is we'll, once we get the bids back, we will work with our bond council. Potentially what we will do, probably the cleanest thing to do, is when we do this again, I will probably ask you to revoke your previous action and then adopt the new resolution, just so that there is no doubt about what you're adopting in the future.
Okay.
So I think when we actually have real numbers, that's probably the best way to handle it for clarity. For the minute's sake, for the future, everything else, just get rid of what was done previously. But we're kind of being held hostage until we do this, so we just need to set a public hearing and go through it.
I have another question. So the letter discrepancy between at closing and now, who changed that? Was that USDA that changed that? And why do we not, the letter was an old letter, I'm assuming, and they've changed their process.
It is 2014 is when they issued what is called our letter of conditions. And it's, I think, you know, 8 or 10 pages long. And essentially what their take is that they said prior to closing, this is prior to closing.
Oh, that is a to be defined.
not like just prior to you signing the last line. This is all of this is prior to closing.
Right, so they've just decided this is prior to closing. So
really
now, again, remember, we got released from the local office. The local office checked all the boxes for us and said, yes, you're ready to go to bid.
But that's
now we're getting held up.
Easily misinterpreted.
It is. Now we're getting held up at like the state office.
Yeah, that's sloppy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, I know. But at this point, we've got a lot invested in this. I mean, when you think about the amount we have invested already in engineering, we just need, I think it'd be faster for us to move this process than to try to push against USDA.
Okay.
So we're just trying to get it done quickly.
Anybody else have any questions? Okay. We just need a motion to set the public hearing for this month.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have a motion to set that public hearing?
Make a motion to set the public hearing for this for next month.
I have a motion, Ms. Carton, to set it for the October meeting. A second, please.
Second.
Second from Ms. Ogden. Is there any further discussion? No further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? 500. Next item. Chief.
I just briefly, just I need some guidance. If you guys are wanting to continue with what we did this past June with our event, I think for my standpoint, it really went well. We had a decent turnout for our first time. I think the event will grow further. But I need to have some kind of an idea if the town is still willing to help back this thing and help give us proof that the money is helping to go towards it. This past year, I was able to, and I'll do it again. I don't mind doing it. It's a lot of work, but we've got to start planning now so I can have this thing done right instead of running it to the last minute. But last year, I was able to get a lot of businesses to chime in at the end to help cut my cost for what it took to run it. Fireworks being a big expense. The bigger name band you get, you're going to have some more cash flow there. We want to have a couple of different bands, a couple of different types of music. You know, so it's just, sky's the limit with this thing. I've got a lot of people who have asked me about it. I'm doing it again. And I'm just kind of at a standstill because I really need to get my wheels rolling with this thing.
It is not too much work on it. I mean, the minute it comes to be a burden, I say no.
Yeah, I agree. But, once we get settled here in the next couple of months, I don't mind doing it. I really don't mind doing it. I think it's a good thing for the town. I think, most of the feedback that I got was positive feedback. And I'm not sure what you guys may have heard from it, but
nothing negative.
I think it's a good thing. I think it's an excellent, an excellent thing for the town to do. And it's the same time as 4th of July celebration for what it is.
Chief, did you ever get a estimate or maybe a projected headcount? Could you tell like how many came? Was the parking lot full? Was it just packed, crammed?
Wasn't jam packed.
Can you guesstimate?
There was more at the parade than
there was
the
parade
than
the concert thing, and then everybody started pouring into the fireworks.
Right.
Okay.
So, but again, it's a first time event. And
right.
A lot of people kept telling me I didn't even know about it. I'm like, I don't know what more I can do. I ran around newspaper ads. I had it on the television. I had a banner hanging there for 30 days.
On the radio.
See, I know I turned some people around because they were leaving after the parade. They saw everything, and it's like about everybody else does. They read the top line and don't read the third and fourth line. So they saw the parade, and then they were booking out of here,
right,
not realizing that there was still stuff going on. So I turned some people around for that. And I did hear some people that said they were here for the parade, loved it, went and got something to eat, and came back for the fireworks.
The vendor thing turned out well. I was a little concerned there. A couple of people canceled at the last minute for other stuff that they had going on. But we had a good turnout with the food. The vendors did really well. They already had requested to come back. I talked to people at the fair. They're all wanting to be here. So I foresee the future with this thing being a huge event for the town. I really do. It's like this Christmas parade. When we have the Christmas parade, you could, I don't know how many people out there, it seems like a couple thousand, maybe 3,000 people out there. So I foresee that happening.
I think it's great. My concern is that's a lot of work on you and your crew.
Mayor, I'd like to explore, if it's possible, can we form some kind of a planning committee that can handle some of the logistics of maybe some of this to help them? I don't know if you would want it, but I think that we need to explore, because if it just keeps growing, it's just going to get harder and harder and consume more and more time. So I don't know if a committee would help. And I'm not thinking huge, just even if it's brainstorming, and then you can filter out what I essentially would like to see. My two cents is that people fund it. I would like to see people sponsor like they sponsor the fair. And I'm sure it's going to take a while to get there. But at the same time, we have to have a goal to grow towards. Like, we can't be expected to keep paying this bill, because this is too much on the town residents to pay. That's the way I feel about it. I think it's too much to ask the town to keep paying for it.
My recollection is back in one of the anniversaries of the town, we had a bunch of firework stuff held at the high school. Might have been even the fourth grade, too, whatever. Anyway, what they did was they set up a booth down at the end of the road in Lancer Lane. If you want to come on the property to watch the fireworks, it was $5 or $10 a car load. But that went to help fund the fireworks.
Right.
Yeah, that didn't stop people from, you know, watching from a distance and stuff like that. But, I mean, that's one idea. But for what you're suggesting, what do you feel about it?
Obviously, I mean, it's going to take a little while to get where this partner wants to get. I mean, it's you're going to have to show there's excitement about it for somebody to buy in on it, and I think we're going to get there. The bigger name act you get for a show is going to draw tons of people to your event. I mean,
that'll have to come.
Well, I was referring more to the committee part.
The committee part. I mean, I'm for it.
Can I throw something out
on
that? There's a committee in place with getting everything ready for the Christmas parade. Why not, after that's over with, that same group just roll over and start?
All committees doing that?
It's staff, and I'm on it, and we're just getting stuff, everything ready for the Christmas parade. So, getting all the information out. So why can't we just roll over after the Christmas parade season, then Christmas parade's done, and then just move on from there? But Bobby's on that committee also, so it'll be just a smooth transition, just going. You know.
But is that too late?
No. We've got no later than starting in January.
I'm just thinking you're going to be rolling and finishing the parade and
first
of the
start right up on that.
You've got to book this stuff so far in advance. That's the problem. You know, you just get calling up the last minute to show up. Months.
Well, and the longer you have to work on it, exactly. So you don't have to start in January. You can book your band in May,
right,
or July,
right,
the following year.
But I was just thinking that the hard planning, you know, you could, it doesn't,
you know,
say.
Yeah, you know, with, you know, the logistics and stuff like that, it would
right
be good to have people.
Right, and the hard planning, but it's the stuff that you can be doing year round that is not real time consuming totally. It's like you run into a business owner out here and, hey, we got this going on.
The earlier I can get to them, letting them know what we got going on. And, you know, I think maybe it's a good idea to let Christmas parade get through, and then we get it with that forward. But you got to do it early, because these local businesses around here get hit a lot for donations.
Right.
And
the biggest concern that I know the chief had and the staff is concerned about, and the reason why, you know, we kind of need to know if the town council wants to make a funding allocation for this, is because of the fireworks, which we were really lucky to be able to get that company this year at the last minute, because they're not always available. We lucked out getting them, because that's a really reputable company, has all the right insurance, has the right qualifications. So we would like to get on their calendar, and then we'd like to get the band set up, which, again, to get a bigger name, you need to get in early. The other pieces of it, like all those other logistics, we'll probably genuinely wait until after we get through the Christmas parade. But that's why at this point, the chief's really looking for that monetary commitment to understand whether council wants to support that again so that, that we can set those two things up, which are the biggest funding commitments.
We don't know roughly how much was that?
How much did we?
Last year, council agreed to spend $10,000, and we did come in under that. The chief did get a donation from one business. I mean, and then he really worked very hard to get some contributions, some in-kind contributions from some businesses, as well as a monetary donation from one business. The band cut him a break last year. So, I mean, there were a lot of things that came in cheaper because people were trying to help us get this off the ground. But the fireworks, were they? How much were they doing? No, the band. That was the first payment. I think the fireworks were $5,000.
It was close to at least $4,500.
I thought it was a lot more than that.
And he threw in, he helped me out.
Yeah, so those fireworks, that was kind of the $5,000 level fireworks. And then the band, the person who did the band, they gave us a significant break over what their normal cost is because they know the chief and he's worked with them in the past. We won't always be able to pull that one off, but you know, there's a lot of things like that. And now that we know, we kind of have this structured, this will be easier to pull off this year than last year. There were a lot of decisions that we had to make on this one that
parade
we have to,
and
yes,
that.
Parade route and getting VDOT bought off on that was a lot of fun. But so that's really what we need to start with, is what the monetary level of commitment is so he can make those decisions.
Where would these funds be coming from?
We'd take them from the general fund contingency, which is what we did last year. So you always have that contingency fund that is in the general fund balance. And so last year, that was the money that we used.
And then you know, just throwing it out there, you could start, you know, the bigger this event gets, you can start charging the vendors for being here. You really don't, you don't want to discourage them to be here, but you want them to, you know.
Right, you need to make money too.
It doesn't discourage them from the apple harvest during those festivals.
Yeah.
They're charged.
Yeah, that was proven too, but that's been going on.
That's been going on for a long time.
Yeah. I think if we give it one more good shot, I think you're going to see early.
Well, to get to a point, I don't have a problem with funding this like we did last year, but to get to a point, if you grow so much that we could conceivably be selling $25,000-$30,000 a year. You know, if it got bigger and bigger. And that thing, I think, is getting a little bit high for taxpayers' fund. It is there.
I think what we'd like to do, and this would be my recommendation, is for the town to seek to hold their funding level steady with this, and then seek to grow it based on sponsorships, donations, and the vendor slots. So, I mean, if you're comfortable with that, saying this is the town seed money, essentially, mm-hmm. and I think that everybody can look at what the chief was able to put together last year and see that, you know, in terms of how he was able to parlay that investment into people, you know, donating time, effort, there was a lot of bang for the buck. And so I think that will continue to build on itself. But that seed money would then allow him to be able to schedule the fireworks and start doing the band search, and then sponsorships and other things may be able to make the rest of it work.
I'm good with that. As long as we're not spending any more money
right.
than we did last year.
Yeah.
And I'll hit it earlier this year with getting trying to get donations. I've had a number of people come up to me now and tell me, you know, that they would like to talk to me about it. So I just need a direction. We're going to do it, not do it, that kind of thing.
So,
all right, I can start hammering it.
Do we need a motion?
I would appreciate, just for the record, a motion from council to authorize staff to utilize $10,000 from the contingency fund for the purpose of the first responders event next year.
Up to $10,000.
Up to, yes.
Okay. Have a motion?
Thank you, guys.
Have a motion from Mr. Watts. Have a second?
I'll second that.
Second from Ms. Carton. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? 500. Mr. Wade,
come forth and present yourself.
So I've heard y'all's comment on our little centerpiece up here.
We don't want it, but since you guess what our resident is, figured out what it was.
So what I'm coming forward to
tonight about is just more or less to get some feedback from y'all, because y'all's ears are out there more than mine and Becky's are. So if your constituents have issues, have questions, we would like to hear. What I'm trying to work on now is an educational series that lets us know, or puts us out there, what the water plant is actually putting into the water. This right here is an assortment of phosphates, which is what we add to the water to help our lead and copper issue.
You toss marshmallows in?
Yeah. It may be a little gooey when it goes through the hot water heater, but so one of the issues that I took a phone call on last month was a lady wanted to know what we were putting in the water. And I told her, she goes, no, what are you putting in the water? And I explained to her it was a phosphate-based chemical, which was a food base. And she questioned that. And I said, you can go in your kitchen and look most anything that's in there, it's going to have a phosphate in it. I think she went and looked while I was talking to her. And once she realized that what we're putting in there is edible, we figured, okay, this is a good way to get our message out there. What I've tried to do is set up a PowerPoint using as few slides as possible. Now, on the first slide, it's telling you it's a water plant. It's telling you what chemical we're putting in and what it's used for. The second one is actually telling what the phosphate is. I'm not going to read all this because I'm giving all y'all a copy, but it just tells what it is, what it does. Continues on telling, you know, how it's covering the pipes and how it affects the system. This is actually the TARS is the exact chemical that we are using, and it is a food grade and or certified.
It's coming. It took a little while.
Oh.
It was thinking. Yeah.
And then I also put in how it goes through the body, which I did find this interesting, because I some of this I had known, some of it I had. It is filtered out through the kidneys, and it is also filtered out through the small intestines. It will bind with calcium in the intestines. The body has a way of saying, okay, I need phosphate, I don't need phosphate. If it doesn't need it, it's just going to just pass it on out the system. And the final was to actually show the food items, and then we put in the ingredient list, and it's about middle ways. You'll see where the sodium phosphate is listed. Aluminum phosphate, I'm sorry. Sodium aluminum phosphate, yep, right there. And then the final.
Oh, wait, I know it went too far.
The final one is contact information for myself and Becky. If people want more in depth, because what we want, we don't want to overpower. We don't want people to get tired of reading. It's like, okay, what is it? This is it, and then we can go look for more. And basically, what I would like is feedback from y'all as to is this setup you think going to be a good way to go, or is there something else we need to pick up on?
No, I think it's simple. I mean, simplified it pretty well. Now, how are you planning on getting this to be published?
Website.
Yes, I have already talked to Mrs. Hunt about this.
His little smiley face. He looks over.
And she said that it's probably workable that way. Also, since it's in a PowerPoint, we can have these setting up in the lobby too, so people, you know, that actually don't get on, you know, the website.
That's a good idea.
It'd still be there too.
I only have one. I like it. I think that's a great idea. I love the idea of being on a website. I didn't get to read it all because it was fast, and I haven't. I'm sorry. I haven't seen it all the way through. Is it very technical? Because sometimes you kind of lose.
No.
Okay, it's not. Okay, I was just curious. I didn't get to.
It's like water for dummies. Phosphate for dummies.
Okay.
Would it also go on the Facebook page?
I don't know if we'd want to put it on the Facebook page, but I'd ask Ms. Hunt to possibly put a note on Facebook that it has been posted to the website.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. Go to the page where it's posted.
Where were we thinking about posting it on the website?
We haven't thought that far yet. But we just discussed this pretty quickly about doing it, actually.
Okay.
So I haven't.
We have water.
We do. We've got a utility
page,
section,
yeah,
so
okay.
We can put it on the
yeah.
water page.
Yeah.
We can put it under hot topics if y'all want to.
New features or something.
Well, yeah, we've got a hot topics
yeah.
and
okay.
probably put it there to begin with. But of course, so to begin with, just
yeah.
a link to, but certainly on the water page, so it will just stay
yeah.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how many of these he actually ends up with, it'll be like separate pages for
okay.
each one, probably.
Well,
we'll see how that goes.
Good.
So that was it. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
If you got a question you want to talk about, would you sign and we'll put you on the public comments there, Mr. Hart?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to announce that again in a second. Next item, Ms. Tracy, again.
We had actually been looking at a new financial software for a couple of years since I've been here. What we currently have is kind of manual input. I have to figure things out on my own, do the calculator, and then manually key it into the system to make a lot of my payroll work. The utilities piece works good for what we need, but it does not show a lot on, of course, our bills. If you've ever had a credit or an adjustment on your bills, actually handwrite them each month. If any of y'all have ever had that, you'll notice they're actually handwritten because our system does not show that. So there's a lot of areas that our system could technically use improvement. We have decided that we would like to go to Edmonds. Over the past couple of years and in other localities, we have seen other software choices, and not just with price, but with the functionality for what we need something for, Edmonds does seem to suit us best. And we have found out, Ms. Carter found out recently that Edmonds is being installed in Town of Appomattox, and we are actually piggybacking off of a contract with the Town Farm as well. So they're transitioning to Edmonds as well. So that is our request, is to have the money to start up the Edmonds office.
And I kind of, and this is my fault, I goofed up. The number on the agenda says $25,000, which is the actual cost of the software. The CIP said 28. That's because the CIP included the $25,000 for the software and the $3,000 for the actual conversion of the data. So the total cost the first year is $28,000, which is what is in the adopted CIP and in the budget. So that's where that little discrepancy came from. When I was making the agenda, I looked at that cost of the software and didn't go down to the line that said the total cost for year one. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Is everybody happy with the software that you know is using?
Yes, I did get feedback from other localities, not the Town of Farmville, Town of Appomattox yet though, but I did get feedback from other localities in Virginia that were using it, and they have been impressed with it, and they've actually said that through the conversion there's been little issues throughout the conversion that were expected, but nothing too big.
How was their customer service?
They have a guaranteed customer service time right now, I think we were told like a 22 minutes. And it's personal customer service. If you choose to call, it's text, we can do the chat or whatever online. And I've given the example, Southern as of today, I actually had forgotten I even had a support ticket in with them. We had a problem where the system would not let the girls up front enter in a payment. It was throwing the payment back to us as something was wrong in their account maintenance. So we had actually put the customer's payment in the safe, and I had called him a support ticket 3 weeks ago. And this morning, Dee was like, did you remember that this was in the safe? And I was like, no, I didn't, because I haven't gotten a call back from the response. So
So that just got fixed today. So.
And Southern used to be known for having really excellent customer support. They were a company that started in Roanoke, and they had this reputation of having the best support in the industry. And as they've been bought out or whatever has expanded, that's what we're hearing universally. And we have heard, I know that's one of the questions that I asked Tracy as well, is what are we hearing from jurisdictions that have gotten Edmunds? Are they getting good support? And everything we're hearing from the jurisdictions that have is they are getting good support from Edmunds. Mm-hmm. But that's a challenge, and we hope that they stay with good support, because that's part of the reason that we're leaving Southern. And that's the same reason that some of the other jurisdictions are leaving Bright, which is kind of the old mainframe system that people have used for years, and their customer service has deteriorated as well. It's a big challenge.
Well, all of those companies started out with excellent customer service. That's why I went with Southern. And Bright was, everybody was salivating to get Bright at the time, because that was the state of the art. But this brings me to another thing. In 10 years, 15 years, whatever, Edmunds could go down the same road, conceivably, and start slipping. And I think as I reached out, I think you've got a copy of it, and I was a little concerned with the contract wording in paragraph I.
Yeah, that Ms. Carr sent me kind of mathematics contract, and that is similar, except theirs is a 3-year, theirs is a 5, but I think there's a little cost differential in that because of the 5-year. You know, the renewal is just an option that I don't know whether that's negotiations or if that's something that can be tweaked, but I'm not unlike you. It's hard to, you know, figure out what's going to happen.
Well, the one I'm concerned with is where it says that the contract may be terminated by mutual agreement in writing by both parties. Well, if we don't want them anymore, I don't see where they have to agree to it.
But interestingly enough, there was another document that this card came on with kind of mathematics, which, you know, quite frankly, it's a home run. It's a document that we would be attaching, if we accepted, to any contract with a vendor. Cites, you know, things about indemnification and right of termination, and all those are conditions that the town would require to be met in the contract. For example, exactly what you're talking about, we would have the right to terminate.
Well, I'm going to address that. I just didn't like that language up here.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay.
So it would need to be tweaked some, but we were matching and be comparing and found some very good assistance.
But if we can get to where you're satisfied with, you know, we can get out of here from you to.
Yeah, that's what Ms. Carr and I have talked about. Yeah.
We'll be.
I have an additional question, Tracy. In where it says, are we supporting merchant services right now? Is that what we use on the website?
So currently, right now, we have two parts. Mm-hmm. We have BB&T as our merchant service, and we pay them monthly for the credit card fee.
Right.
And then the online provider is our third party. And they basically just connect us to BB&T,
right,
so that the customers have the online portal. And we also have to pay them a fee each month. This system will do away with both. The credit cards themselves have different rates depending on if it's debit or credit, depending on the company, if it's an actual business credit card, all that stuff. So compared to what we're paying a third-party vendor right now, and BB&T, Edmunds is actually going to allow us to basically just go dormant on the BB&T and online portal for right now to see the cost comparison for a few months. I'm not going to terminate BB&T or a third-party online provider. We're going to see where the cost comparison will be with just Edmunds. And if it's comparable minus the third-party online provider, we'll go with them. And the benefit of that is we will have one bill for everything. They will take care of the online payments. And whereas right now, anything that we receive through online, we have to manually key in the next morning. Or when somebody comes in at the window, we run the card over here and we have to key into the system.
Mm-hmm.
It'll all be integrated.
Okay.
So whatever somebody makes online, it automatically gets into the system on our side. And then the girls will just make one swipe at the computer and everything comes together. And they said the merchant services piece of it is an easy turn off, turn on. That's not part of the contract.
I have the question because in paragraph Q, it says merchant service provider, and if we had merchant service providers with the software, it says it's billable at $225 per hour.
If we have to call them for problems.
Okay.
And if it wasn't them. Because we actually were in discussion with another provider that supposedly integrates, well, not integrates, it would still be a two-step process. But they work with Edmunds, and if the issue is not theirs, like if they had to create an Excel document or a special file that would get their stuff to the third-party person,
mm-hmm.
that's where the charges are coming from.
But are, am I, okay, so I'm getting confused, so I wanna understand. So if we use Edmunds, does that replace the third-party provider, or are we still going to need a third-party provider?
No, if we okay. if we use Edmunds and the cost is comparable, then that makes BB&T and our online provider go away.
So then this $225 per hour would not
no.
really be existent for
no.
us. Okay,
no.
that's what I was trying to clarify. Okay,
do you
thank
have a
you.
Contract
that's...
with BB&T right now?
The contract is basically we just have to go 30 days. That's it, because we had looked at that last year too. To get away from them and go to another local bank. And at the time, the local bank said for the trouble, it was not worth it. And that was actually coming from them. So they were, you know, considered about that.
Did Edmunds give you an option to have a fee, a monthly service fee that you pay, and you have so much limited or unlimited use to their IT or where you're paying $100 a month and you can call 10 times if any problems or anything like that?
The maintenance fee is free the first year. It comes along with the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I believe it's roughly $8,000 a year. That what we're currently paying Edmunds is maybe $5,500, somewhere in there.
No, what we're currently paying Southern.
Southern. So what we will have to pay Edmunds is actually more than what we're paying Southern currently. But with Southern, we still have to pay them $1,500 a year in addition to roughly the $5,500 for maintenance because they charge us for tax conversions that we get from the county. Edmunds is part of the service fee itself, so we don't have that additional $1,500. So we're maybe out another $500 to $1,000 a year, but better system.
Are you making up for that in the third-party stuff too?
Well,
because that will be a cost savings.
Not necessarily a savings, just time saving and functionality.
I did not realize until I got this job in Tracy and I started looking at the banking, and I know that Mrs. Turner knows this as a small business person. I had no idea how complex the credit card charges and understanding what that costs you as the person, as the company, essentially. It is completely opaque until you get into it because all the charges are different and there is no uniformity between how one bank and another bank handles it. And so when Tracy's saying we really do just need to put this dormant and then see how it plays out with Edmunds, that's kind of the same calculation we had to run about looking at doing First National versus BB&T, and First National even going, it's not worth the trouble to swap. Because it just is so complex what these calculations look like. And until you run it a few months, you just don't know. And that sounds terrible to say, but that really is how it is.
You
because
really need to run it a couple months to see how it's going to work with your billing cycle. Because it may work or it may not. And they can tweak it. I mean, you can suggest you make some tweaks to that.
There's still the question, you know, that we can always change. As of currently right now, we still eat the cost for the utility billing, credit card charges, and that includes online payments. And currently we charge the citizen 3% if they choose to come in here and pay with the card for taxes and other payments. And the reason for that is that there is actually a governmental utility rate that is much cheaper than the rates that's charged on anything else. So historically, that's why the town has chosen to take on those costs. So at any point, we can change the way we do things. And they said that they could change anything throughout the system, a switch of a button, or however
request to be done.
I only have one more question, sorry. I've heard all of other people using these softwares and converting for their, is there any hidden, or I guess hidden is not a proper word. I'm reading H where it says pro support, and I'm seeing where the support is included, and system upgrades are included. We don't get charged for those. But I know that there are, like this one says, consulting, reconciling, and other professional, it's H. Other professional services are excluded. So how often are those services needed, and to what expense? What are the rate? It's not stated in here what the rate is if those things are needed, and why would they be needed, and how often are they needed? What I'm very leery of, and I've seen many people succumb to this, is, yeah, it looks great up front, but then all of a sudden when you start needing the help, you're getting bills left and right, and you're like, wait a second, what's going on? Now you're spending a lot of money.
I know Southern, and even Edna said this, that, you know, for the first few months to a year when we're just getting started with the system, that support is obvious, even general questions on how to do a process or a step. But after that, you know, you're encouraged to learn the system and only call for errors that you think are system issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that Southern recently started, and which we haven't had to, from now, if you call Southern with the issue for support that is your own fault, then they charge you, and I can't remember what the rate is on that. We haven't been there yet. We haven't done that.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, it has to be a true system error, something that the system has done that is not our fault directly.
So what you're seeing in H is, you know, so they are saying there's a limit on,
right,
you know, what you're, what you've got. And then, you know, the consulting, reconciling, and other professional services are excluded. What that's really coming down to is they're saying the consulting side is, if you want us to do something special to your software, you know, we're going to add macros that we're writing for you. That's consulting. The reconciling has to do with when you're in your audit process. They're not responsible for reconciling the monthly financials. They're not responsible for reconciling your annual financials for audit. So they're trying to make that clear, that if you need that level of help,
mm-hmm,
you're going to pay additional for that. And that's true with any of the software companies. The second paragraph then talks about the unlimited support is something that is a software error. It's not caused by your neglect. And they're also unlimited on the system upgrades, the new release, and the changes where you've got the mandated reporting requirements.
Right.
So, I mean, that level of support is very typical across the industry,
mm-hmm,
where, you know, things that are on their side, they handle, and things that come from reporting requirement changes, they handle. And then you've got a limited amount on these basic support systems. And I'm not sure Trace has ever had 5 support calls in a month. So, I mean, it's... That's actually pretty standard.
Okay. I just wanted to know, because I've just heard people say, you know, initially, yeah, it looks great, and then all of a sudden when you need help, cha-ching, and then you...
These people are salesmen. They're
exactly. Exactly. And so I'm just trying to, you know...
But having other localities that are using it,
right,
and they're happy with it, and
they haven't reported anything like that,
and
additional charges.
Exactly. The ones who have been on it for some time, those are the people, it sounds like,
And Southern is not one that I particularly know that a lot of the localities in Virginia are using. And to be honest, I've never talked to anyone else in Virginia that uses Southern. And with the town of Appomattox and the town of Farmville going to them, at least you have 2 local localities that you can kind of get feedback and training from, which was one of the benefits from Bright, because with Bright we had the user groups that we had quarterly meetings with. And, you know, regardless of the system itself, those user groups were very helpful.
So how long have the other 2 localities been using this product?
Well, I can't remember the other localities that actually send emails on Facebook. I mean, on emails regarding the system. But the other 2 localities, Farmville just went with them this winter, and Appomattox is in the process. As well.
Appomattox just voted.
Okay, so everybody's kind of new.
Mm-hmm.
Those two.
Right, those two, but our close localities is what I was referring to. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And see, I think that the thing to remember, and this is something Mrs. Turner and I talked about, if we get 10 years out of a financial software,
yeah,
that's kind of your target.
Right.
If you get more than that, it's a bonus.
Right.
Because the reality is the market does shift and change. At the time the decision was made on Southern, Southern had an impeccable reputation on customer service. And so, and the town's been with Southern for a time period. Right now, Edmonds is really trying to grow their business. I think it's a very safe time to get into this product. You've got it, they've got enough that they've established that they're capable of doing this and running it. And at the same time, they're trying to sell this to other places. So I think the customer service is going to be good, mm-hmm, for kind of this chunk of time. And then we'll see how their marketing looks and how their support looks when they really become the established company. Because that was the challenge on Bright.
Right.
Bright still has a great product in terms of its capability. It's the training and support that has gone kaput on Bright.
Right.
And so it's that's where we'll just hope that we can get that kind of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope that this will be a 15-year product instead of a 10-year product. But, you know, if you get that kind of 10 to 15-year time frame, you've really done well with the investment.
Okay, so we need a motion
to approve that. So you already have budgeted this, you've already appropriated the money, so this is really coming to you under your procurement policy that we have permission to spend something over $5,000.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So can I have a motion to go ahead and move forward with the Edmonds software?
I'll make that motion.
I have a motion from Ms. Turner. May I have a second?
I'll second.
Second from Mr. Watts. Any further discussion? Does this need to be a roll call vote?
It doesn't, because you've already appropriated the money, so okay, this is just a procurement decision.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? 5-0-0. Ms. Thank you. Are you going, you staying up for this next
one? Yeah,
week?
I was at
the deal. You can stay up there.
Okay. the copy of purchase.
Okay. So I have three different companies and five different quotes. They're for some comparable machines, and they're for Pure Stereo, Xerox, and Sharps. the lowest price compared to the next lowest price, of course, was a difference of $2,000. The machine that we're recommending to you is simply an upgrade of what we have, and it's actually what we're recommending is actually just one model older than the brand new model that we were quoted by a different company that was actually $3,500 more. So.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding of it is that the current copier is currently working fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not doing color.
That's right.
So do we really want to invest in a new copier just to get that perk of color?
The plan was to, with the copier, that if it's still working as it should, that it would go with the police to the new building. Because they, without that, they wouldn't have a big standalone front.
Okay, well, I'm okay with that. If, because they really need something down there.
Do you see a need for color?
Yes, I do. Really, the only color option we have right now is we have a fax machine that I can print color on. So anytime we're printing color in this office, I'm printing it off the fax machine. So we don't print extensively in color, but obviously when, you know, we're trying to go over a map with a citizen, or I'm trying to do that, or have handouts. I mean, we're getting ready, for example, to have the park meeting. I would love to be able to have a packet of maps that really, you know, show what that is, to be able to give that to people and for them to be able to take that with them and look at it. You just can't produce that, those kinds of things well with just black and white. So it isn't something that we would be using daily, because at part of what I would be imparting to staff is we do pay every time we do a color copy. You're paying extra for that over the cost. So we don't want to be producing color just because we can. Black and white's the standard, but in terms of being able to convey information, or when we were having events and we're trying to make flyers, the chief had to go pay those at Ginkgo's, because we don't have the ability to produce it at all. So being able to do that in-house would save us money on some of those things.
Are you aware of the cost
that with this particular printer and with this company, it would be 0.047 per page, regardless of whether there was a drop of color or the whole page color.
That's pretty good.
Now, do they maintain the machine, or do you have to buy the cartridges of color to maintain the machine?
No, the service that we are currently paying is roughly $1,150 a year for the one we currently own. Because, of course, this would be brand new, the service goes down to $800 a year, and that includes everything that we'll need.
That includes all your ink cartridges.
The cartridges, the services for coming out here. Yeah, that includes everything.
Y'all, that's a steal, because one tube of one color can be $20. Yeah, that's yeah. And they take care of all maintenance, if it breaks,
yes.
If it jams, if it, oh, that's,
yes.
That's a no-brainer. That's,
and
we haven't gotten a bill, and this is with the same company that we have, Cobb.
Yeah.
And that's who we have with this one.
Yeah.
We have, besides our maintenance bills monthly, we don't get anything.
And I will tell you this, because Tracy priced this with Cobb, and it's a state contract. So she brought it to me, and she said, here's what I want to do. And I went, okay, I need more prices. And she said, it's a state contract. Under the procurement, we don't have to do that. I said, I still want more prices. And so she went and got more prices. And what we end up with is Cobb. Because they, I mean, and they're lower on the cost of the actual copier, and they're lower when you look at what they're charging us for the color copies. I mean, the deal on this really is great. So I was like, okay, you're right. We could have just got one price, but I wasn't going to be satisfied with that. So
how long is the contract for, the maintenance contract?
Oh, the maintenance contract is yearly, and of course they said this option is to outright buy. I mean, because for what we use it for, we you know, keep it a long time. We don't run through it and damage and stuff. So this is to outright buy it versus leasing it. So as long as we pay them the maintenance every year, that includes everything we'll ever need.
They'll just keep doing it. We'll just dip. Oh.
I mean, he said, of course, you know, the older the machine, the cost of maintenance, you know, will steadily go up, which is why we pay $1,150 now for our maintenance with that one.
Right.
But
how long have you had the old one?
For about 7 years. And I think until recently, we've had a few issues with this one recently, with just smear and stuff all over the page. So we've had a few calls out here recently, but I mean, maybe once a year since I've been here, they needed to come out for things to actually service the machine.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, and this is just because it's over the 5,000 threshold, right? Ms. Carton, would you like to make that motion?
I'll make a motion that we support staff to get a color printer and copier.
And I will second it.
Any further discussion on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, go forth and copy.
In color.
In color graph, you have it. Okay, next, Ms. Carter.
I really just wanted to put this on the agenda to make sure you are aware of it. We will be holding a meeting here in Town Council Chambers on September 24th at 7:00 p.m. And I am not going to produce, you know, kind of that idea of having a finished product, because what we really want to do is have a discussion with folks and make sure everybody knows this is where we are right now in terms of the planning. These are the ideas that have been discussed, and I really want to draw on some maps. So what I want to produce for people is information that they can take home, but I want to have a discussion with them about this is kind of the direction. It's been interesting that there's only been a couple comments on Facebook. Ms. Hunt made a beautiful post for Facebook. If you had seen what my original looked like, you would understand why I think hers is so wonderful, because mine was just very basic and she made it look extremely professional. But and it's interesting because some of the comments are, we want playground, we want water park. And we're going to have to really educate people about why this is not the correct location for high intensity recreation uses. So we're going to have to make sure we have that discussion with people and try to start to put that out there. I don't want to put that information and respond to that on Facebook now. I want to have the meeting because I think it's helpful for people to participate in the process. But, you know, this is a location that is appropriate for the passive recreation, the picnic, the trails, those kinds of things. I have had a conversation, a subsequent conversation with Dr. Arnold. He is so supportive of integrating with the high school. And so I am going to go to the school board retreat, which is that same week after. I think this is on a Tuesday, and I'll be going to the school board retreat on the Thursday afternoon. And really going to pitch to the school board at their retreat, this is what we're looking to do in this location. We would like to partner with you. My recommendation, I think Dr. Arnold's recommendation, is rather than have kind of trail easements across high school property, we really would like to develop some kind of memorandum of understanding with the school board, because we want to leave them in the driver's seat with their own property.
Right.
We don't, you know, asking them to give us an easement, that's an intense process that then says we own that right. And so we really want to develop a memorandum of understanding about what the appropriate locations would be to join up trails and to look at those long-term issues. But he's very supportive, and we do have a venue that we've kind of figured out how we're going to do that. So this is all moving forward at this point to be able to have those discussions.
I still think it's so impressive that those two young men came out here to talk to you.
I know, sweet.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah.
I
really
saw it was three of us, because I saw them 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
In front of the library,
yeah.
All standing there leaning against their bike. So they, I don't know if they've been back there again, but they were just all hanging out.
I mean, it's just for a high schooler in today's society to take that initiative.
Yeah.
It says something about their character.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was very sweet.
So, okay, and one more reminder, if you wish to make a public comment, yeah, just sign up. Sheet is there, and then we get to that. Next, matters from staff. Anything further?
Real quickly, a nominated officer, Robinson, this past month for his efforts in DUI, and he was DUI enforcement, and he was awarded down in Benton Memorial for his efforts in that. And so far, that was for 2018, so far in 2019, he's already surpassed his numbers for last year.
Wow.
The young man is on fire. He's doing a great job. All the guys are.
He smells alcohol from the
distance. He's good. All these guys are deaf. They do a good job out here for us. I'm proud of them.
Where that on your accommodation?
Building wise, they're moving right along. Haynes done for all the drywall.
Okay.
Waiting on flooring to come in, doors, and ceiling will be done to all the last of the electrical.
But
December,
give or take.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Mr. Williams,
anything
further?
Actually, I am a little chatty this evening.
Do tell. Have a thing of cheese.
I want to thank this group right here, because coming off the construction that we did for the last 2 months, three counting August a little bit, I want to really thank Buddy, because he stepped up. And we had Mr. Fowdy, who resigned to start his own business at the end of May, so we didn't have Becky to take care of the water plant. Mr. Smith, dual license, he's got a class 3 water. We shifted him on up there. Water plant didn't miss a lick. Because Buddy was gone from wastewater, Fred stepped up and really took up a lot of the slack that Buddy had been taken care of too. So I just wanted to thank them all.
Thank you guys.
I can't say enough good things about all of our staff. We have excellent crew here.
And Mr. Williams has not taken enough days off in a long, long time. So
why don't you send him home?
I can't yet until we've got our new employee at water fully up and running, so that we don't have him actually working as an operator. He's been working as an operator because of the staff shifting around to cover over at water. But I'm anticipating that once he is fully staffed up, that he's going to disappear for an extended period of time. So if y'all don't see him for a month, that's why. He's fully staffed up and things are working the way they're supposed to.
Ms. Becky?
We've got our new staff. Matt Simpson is doing really well. He wasn't able to be here. He had a meeting that he had to be at this evening. He's doing really good. He seems like he's very interested in the career, catching on very good. We're hoping to turn him loose at the end of the month.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Anything?
No.
Mr. Barrett?
No, sir.
Ms. Hart? Christmas is coming.
Yes, it is.
It is. There'll be a parade.
There'll be a parade.
I got one email today. Somebody's interested in being in the parade. We have information up on Facebook, up on the website about how to be in it.
I know the Girl Scouts at their meeting last night, it was Tuesday, right? Last night, they discussed trying to come up with an idea to name the parade so they could be the Grand Marshals. They're working on that they started on that, all brainstorming together. So it ought to be interesting what they come up with.
I didn't know you joined the Girl Scouts.
How are we going to get all those girls in a car?
Well, I don't think they're, trailer.
You might have to get a car. Big car. I just thought that was
fun.
Pretty cool because
they
didn't ask about it. They brought that up, so they're working on it. So that'll be interesting. All right.
Two other things.
Yes.
Don't leave me yet. You skipped me.
Go ahead.
Okay. Number one, I wanted to make council aware, earlier this week, I did get a letter request from the Motleys, who own the building where Andre has car wash on the bottom, and you've got that 3D measure on the top. They would like to be able to do mixed use in that building and allow both commercial and residential, but they're in the business district. If you're in the downtown commercial business district, you can have mixed use, have both residential and business. Mm-hmm. If you're in the business district, you have to have one or the other. And so they asked, is there a way to kind of address that? And my suggestion actually is to look at doing an ordinance amendment. I don't see any reason why going down Second Street, somebody shouldn't be able to have both in the same building. So what I am planning to do is take that to Planning Commission for discussion next month, and Planning Commission would hold a public hearing on an ordinance amendment. And then we would bring that to council. So I just wanted to make you aware that request had been made. The Motleys understood this was not like a quick fix. Mm-hmm. And if there are concerns about being able to do both in one building, then that's something we could also add in as doing a special exception for, which is another thing I talked to the Motleys about, that it wouldn't be open for everyone, but you'd have to actually demonstrate you have the ability to break up the use in the building.
So he wants to put an apartment there?
So their concern is that potentially the son who runs that business is interested in maybe going somewhere else. And so the business is successful, and if he went somewhere else, the business would go with him.
Okay.
And so if that happened, they were thinking that they might want to put apartments on that main floor, but they wanted to still be able to have Mr. Higginbotham have his car wash on the basement side level.
Well, I mean, we've got the situation right down here at Travelers, where you've got apartments above and restaurants below.
That's because they're in the central business district,
okay.
And you're allowed to do it on Main Street, which
right.
This is why to me it didn't make any sense that you can do it on Main Street and you can't do it on Second Street.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't.
So from my perspective, that was a change. The ordinance don't require somebody to rezone the property. So that was one thing. The second thing is the VML conference is coming up. Mrs. Ogden is going to a portion of it. Mr. Watts is going to the whole thing. So you're still doing just a portion. So I really, what I asked y'all to do last year was just to designate Mr. Watts as your voting member, because one person gets the vote, he'll be the only council member who's there for the whole time. So if I could just get a motion that y'all designate him for your voting member at the VML conference, that would be fantastic.
I made that motion. I'll second.
There you go. A motion from Ms. Carter, a second from Ms. Ogden. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
I'm just going to go there. So let's do that one. 4001. Okay. Next item is matters from council.
Okay.
Let's try.
Okay.
Mr.
Like I do. We, most of you know that I've been on an extended project involving the minutes in the town and trying to get some facts and figures together out of it. But as I was working on it today, it crossed my mind that the last time that those minutes were backed up was somewhere in the mid-80s, I believe. And they were put on microfilm down at the Library of Virginia. It's past due we do something to get those things backed up. And I think council needs to start thinking about how do we do that. I don't know if that option is still available down at the Library of Virginia.
I know Tracy does something when she has to.
Well, I know the Library of Virginia has several different policies that you do have to follow. And of course, since they're minutes, we do have to keep them forever. So there is a process of how we need to turn them over to the Library of Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I'll have to check on that.
I just think it's been a long time since we've done it. And probably need to do, if we have a major catastrophe here, whether it's safeguard burden or whatever, they're lost. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Ms. Carton?
I don't have anything.
Mr. Buck?
Yes, sir.
I have one thing. Well, thank you everybody for coming. One thing, and to talk to Ms. Carton, to appoint her to the vacant spot on the Community Relations Committee. So I'm asking for a motion to move forward with that appointment. Ms. Carton, yes. You may have a second, please. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, citizen comments. Mr. Hart, you're on the list.
This has come up because of what Bobby was talking about with the water. So I think it's a great idea. I just had a couple of things. I think putting it on the front page of the website, I could do with where you have the circle information, and until it kind of expires, put it back into the water folder. And I only had a question. Is this something you're going to do every month, every couple months? These articles?
Well, what we're trying to do is get all the chemicals that we're using listed on there. And
okay.
Once we have them all on there, then
that's the end of it.
Yeah.
So it's explained all the chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good idea. Because so many people are afraid of what they think is in the water and what the chemicals are. I just wanted to compliment you for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought PowerPoint presentation was very simple, straightforward. You don't need to know anything about natural chemicals other than what you've read there. And the correlation to the food products. I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Mr. Hart.
Sure.
Okay. With that, I will accept the motion to adjourn.
Motion.
A motion from Mr. Watts. I have a second.
Second
from Ms. Carton. Anybody want to discuss it? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. 500.
I saw you said it. That's why I was like, okay, yeah, I'm not into his. And then I was like, then I realized you didn't say anything.
Y'all were going to.